sorry. I was in here yesterday. You wouldn't wait on me?
Oh.
You work on commission, right?
Yes.
Big mistake. Big. Huge. I have to go shopping now.
Have you ever had your own pretty woman moment? Do you ever shop or at least browse in high-end boutiques or stores and get the feeling the salesperson is obviously sizing you up, ignoring you, or is outright rude to you? And then have you ever spent money anyway? Here with me now to talk about a new study that shows if you've done that, you're apparently not alone, is the co-author of a study about this and an assistant professor at the Cox School of Business at Southern Methodist University, Dr. Morgan Ward. Hi, Dr. Ward. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for this only, so if you have a story, call up with it. Has a rude salesperson ever made you spend more money? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And that's in a high-end store. What about in more mainstream stores? How does the salesperson's attitude affect what you buy? 212-433-9692 to talk about the psychology of that. So what inspired this study, Dr. Ward, and what was the actual empirical question you were asking?
Well, I think what inspired it was my own experience in luxury stores as a impoverished PhD student. You know, I felt like I had this experience myself. And then as I talked to other people recollected similar stories. And, you know, I was interested in luxury. Obviously, that's what I study. And I would go into these luxury stores and feel judged and condescended to. And I noticed that instead of walking out and never returning, I felt more inclined to purchase. And so that was really the empirical question. Was it actually the case that when you have these kind of rejecting experiences, you ultimately feel more driven to make the purchase?
And I guess the results are encapsulated in the title of your journal article, which I see is in the October edition of the Journal of Consumer Research. It's called "Should the Devil Sell Prada? Retail Rejection Increases Aspiring Consumers' Desire for the Brand." So how did you measure this?
We measured it in a bunch of different ways. So we actually set up scenarios, just scenarios that people read, and then later on we actually had people actually interact with a salesperson and see how they behaved. We had a bunch of measures. One of the measures was their willingness to pay, and other measures were how likely were you to purchase, to show these products, to represent the brand, how much did you like the brand after this experience, etc. So we just looked at people's interest and desire for the brand after they felt condescended to.
We're getting some calls, and I want to hear people's stories for, you know, our few remaining minutes because our time is short. But I want to ask you one question first. Does
Sure.
the same hold true for people of different socioeconomic statuses? Meaning, if a truly wealthy person walked into a fancy store and was treated like crap, would that person also wind up spending more? Or does this only hold for a person with aspirations of buying the fancy items?
Yeah, so that's sort of the key thing to think about, is the idea of aspiring. And it seems to hold more for people who don't feel like they're really part of the clique. If you are a person that actually possesses the resources to be in the upper class, well, theoretically, you probably feel like you belong to the clique. However, you know, we don't see that across the board. Sometimes you're new money and you sort of feel like an imposter. And so those kind of people might actually respond to these feelings of condescension. Like, for instance, when Oprah had two instances where she felt condescended to and made a sort of big public fuss about it, but still carries those brands. So I don't know that you could cut it by socioeconomic, but you certainly can look at it by people's sort of chronic perceptions of themselves.
Beth in Riverdale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth. Beth, you there?
Jobs. I worked at a high-end fur salon. And the woman comes in ratty looking, as, you know, couldn't believe it. Filthy, dirty, hanging out jeans. My partner was up, and he said, she's not going to buy anything. She's just in here out of the cold, just walking around. So I took the sale, and she wound up buying two Coyote ski jackets for her two children, matching gloves and mittens, a mink for herself, and a fur-lined leather jacket. She was on her way back from a workout session and happened to stop by. So it goes from the other end, too. You know, it doesn't pay to be a snut if you're in sales, whether it's high-end or low-end. It's, you know, it's all the perception. And I think she was about to walk out of the store because no one was going to work with her. So
it's a great story. Thank you very much. And I guess the question for you, Dr. Ward, is are there a lot of people who work in high-end stores like Beth who actually have experience like that and then do treat everybody like, oh, I can't tell by the way this person looks whether they really have a zillion dollars?
Well, I think that it's a mixed bag. Probably a lot of it has to do with the culture of the store itself and how they tell people to treat potential customers. I have heard that rather than sort of looking at larger, more obvious cues, salespeople look at things like shoes and watches, which could be more subtle because those are sort of better indicators of whether or not somebody has money to spend. But it's retailers give their salespeople all different directives on this.
Raissa on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Raissa.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I'm calling actually because my experience pertains to not necessarily clothing and shoes, but at restaurants. I'm a woman of color, and the assumption that some people make is that people of color, specifically people of African descent, will not tip, and so I have a tendency to overtip. Hello?
Yes, just to blow the stereotype.
Yes, just way above the stereotype. And my overtipping also extends to the fact that I'm an immigrant and the child of immigrants. And so a lot of the people in my life have worked in the service industry, so I believe in tipping, you know, even if I'm in a taxi or wherever. But definitely in restaurants, you know, I've had this need to kind of overcompensate mm-hmm. for this belief that I will not tip or will not compensate the person who's giving me service.
Okay, what's your baby's name who just made the radio debut?
Hi, my baby's name is Anna Elise, and actually, Brian, she loves the theme music to your show. She dances every time it comes on.
Oh, send us a video, okay? Thanks a lot. Derek on the Upper West Side has a similar point to make. Derek, we have almost no time. Can you do this in 20 seconds?
Sorry. Deborah Nixon, wife of Norm Nixon of All Fair, and Rodeo Drive, got insulted by a clerk, and to prove that she had money, she bought Norm Nixon a gift, a $5,000 watch. And Whoopi Goldberg was refused entry into a Fifth Avenue First store, and once the manager let her in, because the sales clerk wouldn't, to prove that she had money, she bought, I think it was a $35,000 fur. And I thought that it showed that the pretty woman example was the best way to do it, buy somewhere else, and then come back and say, look, you missed the commission. What black people tend to do is buy in a store to prove that they have money and help the commission salesperson.
Derek, thank you very much. And, of course, there was all of that stuff that happened with Barney's recently. In our last few seconds, Dr. Ward, did you have a racial component to the study? Did you break it out that way at all?
We did not break out race, but it would have been an interesting moderator, actually.
Do you think it's a tactic that some stores, Prada, Louis Vuitton, whatever, use purposefully if somebody who looks like they're not really rich comes in that the salesperson gets nasty because they know what you now know and they think they can kind of, you know, subtly bully somebody into wanting to buy?
I think that when people are surrounded by luxury that they are reminded of social hierarchies and they act as if they have a higher place in society than they may actually have.
Dr. Morgan Ward, co-author of the study and assistant professor at the Cox School of Business at Southern Methodist University, out of time. Thank you so much. Really interesting.